Are you ready to play?
This summer, ITV Hub is fully loaded with loads more full series.
It's gonna get messy.
Yeah, like it's fuller than ever. From Love Island to Liar, we have divas lined up back to back.
Phil, me and sister.
From the GC and the Ibiza weekend, the reps, the Real Housewives is rammed full of lots and lots of...
This is getting too much now.
Laughs, tears and smiles. It's crammed full with full series like Quiz, Flesh and Blood, Harry's Heroes and Manx in Mumbai. We've grown, expanded and just gone a bit extra this summer.
Give me some oomph.
ITV Hub fully loaded this summer.
The best experience possible.
Did we mention it's looking fuller than ever?
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
4 minutes after 12. My goodness me, is it that time already? Where does all the time go? I don't know, but that's not a mystery you're allowed to ring in and answer. Down the back of the sofa, same place the odd socks do. Where does all the time go? 03456. James, just be quiet. Start again. Remember, you're the grown-up here. It's the children who are listening. Mystery Hour is upon us. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. You ring in with a question, and somebody listening will hopefully know the answer, OK? 03456060973 is the number you need. I forgot to give you much by way of a heads up, which means for at least 3 or 4 minutes, you've got a slightly better chance of getting through at the top of this hour than you do in the weeks where I actually remember what a professional broadcaster looks like and give you a little reminder of what's coming up later in the programme. So I forgot to do that. Better late than never, as they say. Mystery Hour is upon us, and if you want to join in, well, you know what to do. 5 minutes after 12. So, I mean, very simply, I like it in recent weeks. I think we'll keep it up for the summer holidays at least. Mystery Hour has been taken over by my younger listeners or the children of my older listeners or people who fit into both categories. And I've loved it. It's been one of the real highlights, actually, of this sorry period in our shared time together. And long may it continue, although not indefinitely, because everybody sensible wants the schools to get back into business as soon as is humanly possible and safe. Actually, that's not true, is it? Some people don't care about whether or not it's safe. But anyway, we all have our crosses to bear. Shall we kick straight off? I think we shall. Alex is in Orpington. Alex, do you have a question or an answer for me?
Question.
Carry on, Alex. Carry on.
Why do you close your eyes when you sneeze?
How do you know that I close my eyes when I sneeze?
It's because everyone does it.
Oh, so I thought you just meant me. I didn't realise. I think I know the answer to this. Because if you don't close your eyes, when you sneeze, they'll pop out.
Oh.
And how old are you, Alex?
10.
When I was your age, there was a boy at my school called Toby, and he sneezed with his eyes open, and they popped out, and they dangled down, and he had to give them a wash and then pop them back in again. Do you believe me?
No.
Oh, flipping heck. All right, why do we close our eyes when we sneeze? I shall try and get an answer for you, Alex. A cracking question. May have done it before, but I can't remember the answer. I think I'm close to the truth, aren't I, on that one? I mean, they might not actually pop out, but you could do yourself a mischief. Isabella is in Milton Keynes. Isabella, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on, Isabella.
Why are there so many satellites in the sky?
Yeah, as in, I mean, what do you mean, what do they do, or...?
Like, why are there so many? Because we've been seeing a lot at night.
When the sky is clear. I mean, there are so many because of all the technology on Earth, you know, with all the mobile phones and GPS technology and communication satellites. And I think it's because there are so many computers and smartphones and tablets and stuff that the satellites are needed to kind of keep us all in touch with each other.
Okay.
Do you think that sounds right?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You don't have to be polite, okay? Because sometimes I can be a bit of a show-off, and sometimes, don't tell anybody I told you this, sometimes I can be a bit stupid, Isabella.
Yeah.
So...
I think you're right.
Yeah, I do too on this occasion. I'll share my round of applause with you because you're so polite. Thank you, Isabella. And of course, she is. If you're talking about the ones you can see, I think Isabella's clearly talking about the ones that are still operational. One of the problems with satellites, it's very hard to decommission them, or at least to get them out of the sky. But the ones that you can see, the proliferation in recent years will be down to the proliferation of terrestrial technology, needing satellites to communicate and function. I did do that slightly cheeky thing of sticking in some clever words there to cover up a few gaps in my confidence, but we shall find out whether or not they have worked. 8 minutes after 12 is the time. Why do you close your eyes when you sneeze? And you can, of course, on any of the answers, especially the ones I provide, you can launch a steward's inquiry, which means that having been consigned to the completed pile, a question can be steered back in to the waiting for an answer pile. Kane is in Lee. Kane, question or answer?
My question is,
yes.
What are the chemicals that water are made up of? Thank you for answering my call.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being so polite. You mean what are the chemicals that water is made of? Very simply, you just want me to name the chemicals that water is made of?
Yeah.
Okay. Hydrogen and oxygen.
Thank you. Hydrogen and oxygen. I can write that down. So
are you doing well? You're doing your homework at the moment. You've rung me up to do your homework for you.
No.
What are you up to then?
I just like to write things down so when I get into secondary school, I'm prepared.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic plan. So let me give the chemical formula is H,
yeah.
H, and then you put a little 2 down by the bottom of the H.
Yeah.
Can you? And then you do an O, a normal size O. So H2O, that's the chemical formula for water, and it means you've got 2 hydrogen atoms and 1 oxygen atom.
Oh, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Have a round of applause and good luck at secondary school. I'm very, very close there to saying the words, what a lovely young man, with a completely straight face on live national radio, which would mark my transition into some sort of middle-aged matron almost complete. Jasmine's in Islington. Jasmine, question or answer?
Hi, James.
Hello.
I've got a question. I was reading a book and it said that they get waves in that part of the ocean of up to 90 feet. I was wondering how they measure that, because it's not like they're getting a ruler out.
You just spoilt the rubbish joke I was about to try out on you, Jasmine. I was going to say they've got surfers who've got really good tape measures, and when they're on top of a wave, they drop the tape measure and then they read out that it wasn't worth it, was it?
I mean, as far as I know, that is how they do it.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, it is as well. But thank you for indulging my pathetic attempt at humour. How do they measure a wave? I like it a lot. I mean, there'll be some sort of sextant-type contraption that you point at the sea and then look through it and get an idea of how big the wave is, but we need more detail. We need to know the detail. I love that question, Jasmine. Great work. Thank you. How old are you? You're a bit older than the others so far.
I am 23 today.
23 today. Thank you, Jasmine. 11 minutes up. Have we got the happy birthday? Josh, I told you yesterday to get the happy birthday ready, didn't I? Because of the Oh, Jasmine, I can only apologise. I just can't get the staff these days. Ranjit is in Dublin. Ranjit, question or answer?
Good afternoon, James.
Hello,
I've got
Ranjit.
A question for you.
Top man, go on, take it away.
We know that Earth was created by a Big Bang and rocks colliding. Well, how was space created and what was before space?
Holy moly. Couldn't you have asked me a nice simple one about sneezing and eyes popping out?
No.
That is a hardcore question. So we need to try and get it down to a single question. So we're just going to say what was there before the Big Bang?
Yeah.
Can we just do it like that?
Okay.
Yeah? Because otherwise, there's a lot going on and I might not remember it all.
Okay.
Good man. Ranjit, how old are you, mate?
I am 10.
10 years old. What an amazing question. Are you fascinated by space and that kind of thing?
I'm fascinated about volcanoes.
Right.
But, yeah.
But you couldn't think of a question about volcanoes, so you asked about the Big Bang.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I like your style. Well played, Ranjit. And very polite as well. What a lovely young... Oh, there you go, it happened. Greg's in Dulwich. Greg, question or answer?
Yeah, it's just a question, not as intelligent as the last one.
But, no, I'll tell you what, mate, yeah. I wouldn't ring in as an adult at the moment. You've got more courage than I have, Greg. Go on, what's it going
to
be?
Right, I just wanted to know, what is the difference between a trap and a booby trap?
Well, a booby trap is something that is...
That what?
Well, hang on, let me think this through. Well, you fall into a trap, and a booby trap is something that has... doesn't... look like a trap, if you see what I mean.
So it's a disguised trap. A trap's a trap, yeah. Though, isn't it? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, you booby trap something. So, whereas a trap is a self-contained, there's your answer. So booby is an adjective. So you booby trap something. All booby traps are traps, otherwise they wouldn't be called traps. But not all traps are booby traps. And the difference between a booby trap and a trap is that for a booby trap, you need to have an object that is boobied, if you see what I mean.
Something to lure them into the trap.
Or no, something that's been boobied, to coin a phrase.
What's a booby? What's that then?
Well, a booby is when you turn something into a trap. So if you give me a fridge, right?
Right.
And I boobify it, it then becomes a booby-trapped fridge. It's still a trap, but it's a booby trap. Whereas if I dig a hole in Dulwich and cover it with reeds and you go for your daily jog and you land in it, I haven't boobied anything, but it is still a trap.
Right. So something disguised, as I said, as something else is a booby trap.
Well, no, because my trap is disguised as grass, but I haven't boobied the grass. I've just dug a hole. So you booby trap an object like a gun. I could booby trap
like a fridge.
Like a fridge.
So I don't understand how this.
Okay. So if I got my fridge, your fridge, if I came around yours and got your fridge and did it so that I wired it up.
When I opened it.
So it squirted water in your eye when you opened it, or it gave you a mild electric shock when you touched it, I would have booby-trapped your fridge.
Right.
So it would still be a trap, but it would be a booby-trap, as opposed to, for example, there's a mouse trap, that's just a trap that traps mice. No one's booby-fied it.
It's a booby-trap for the mouse, though, isn't it?
No, it's a trap for the mouse. No one's boobied it.
No,
because if I got the cheese and injected it with water so that when the mouse went for a little nibble of cheese, it got squirted in its little mousy face, that would be booby-trapped cheese.
All right, fair enough.
Which you keep in your fridge. Right, okay. I think this is one of the best answers I've ever given, Greg. I'm quite hurt by your lack of excitement and enthusiasm.
I'm not excited because I'm not 100%.
How can you? I've just told you the difference between a trap and a booby trap is they are all traps, but a booby trap is something else that's been turned into a trap that doesn't look like a trap from the outside.
Right. Like, as I said, just like a fridge or something like that. All right, fair enough.
It was me that said that.
All right. Yeah, you did say, all right.
So, Nicky Miles.
You're going to get your round of applause.
Oh, there you go. Greg has spoken, Josh. 12 16.
This is LBC Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
18 minutes after 12 is the time. I mean, perhaps a little clearer on the booby trap question. A booby trap, writes Rav, is something hidden that you trigger. Which is perhaps a little clearer than me trying to invent the word boobify as a verb, although it's a very nice verb. I'm sure we can all agree. So, questions that still need answers. What was there before the Big Bang? Or, indeed, to change the intonation, what was there before the Big Bang? You see the importance of intonation? What was there before the Big Bang? What was there before the Big Bang? Both questions asked by Ranji in Dublin. How do we measure waves? That's for Jasmine. It's her birthday, so be quick on that one. How to go at why are there so many satellites in the world? And the difference between a trap and a booby trap, I'm confident that we successfully answered. What was the very first one today? What was the very first question? I'll double check and get back to you in a second. Georgie is in Twickenham. Georgie, do you have a question or an answer for me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Which one?
Are black holes dangerous to the universe?
Right, two things, Georgie. Can you tell your dad to stop whispering in your ear because you and me are trying to have a chat?
Okay.
Thank you. And number two, you want to know whether black holes are dangerous for the... I mean, just dangerous, full question mark. Are black holes dangerous?
No, just...
For the universe?
Yes.
What a brilliant question. How old are you?
6 years
old and you're asking me questions about black holes in the universe? How clever are you?
Yeah.
How clever are you?
I like space.
I like space as well. And you see how much fun we have when your dad stops whispering in your ear and trying to tell you what to say? Just two lads hanging out having a chat. Am I right or am I right, Georgie?
You're right.
Should write a book. What a lovely young man. Oh, I've done it again. Georgie, thank you very much, mate. We shall try and get you an answer. Are black holes dangerous? That is a brilliant question. And thank you, Dad. I'm only teasing. 20 minutes after 12 is the time. Liam is in Birmingham. Liam, question or answer?
Hi, James. Great to talk to you. I've got a question, please.
Carry on.
Why is County Durham the only county in England that uses the county prefix?
Well, I mean, is it going to be a, is it going to be answerable, that?
Well, I don't know, but when you look at...
you get it a lot in Northern Ireland, of course, but here...
Yeah, I know, and here like it's... County Clare and kind of down to Northern Republic and Northern Ireland as well.
Yes, of course.
But it's curious how it's not... It's County Durham as opposed to Durhamshire.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a nice one. There might be... I hope there is a sort of neat little explanation, or it may just be a kind of anomaly, you know, with no real reasoning behind it. And not... Because there's no... rule about counties at all. They're not all shires, they're not all...
No, because I suppose you've got, like, in Wales, you have the five-letter ones, like Powys.
Yeah.
Differ those ones.
No, well, I like... So how come Durham is the only county that has county as a prefix in England, specifically in England? I'll put it on the list, mate. I really will, and fingers crossed. And that other one I'd forgotten. Why do we close our eyes when we sneeze? See, I got confused there. I thought I'd written down cheese, and it was a reference back to the conversation about booby traps, but I'd actually written down sneeze. So why do we close our eyes when we sneeze? How do you measure waves in the sea? What was there, or what was there, before the Big Bang? Why does Durham have... Is it the only English county with county in its title? And black holes. Are black holes dangerous? I'm pretty sure they are, but I don't think yes is a good enough answer, which is the only answer I could have given to Georgie. Danny is in Ealing. Danny, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on, Danny.
I want to ask two questions, please.
Oh, okay, mate, seeing as it's you. How old are you?
Eight.
Oh, well, in that case, you're allowed to ask two questions.
Where do robins originate from?
Yeah.
And do robins migrate?
That's a lovely question, actually. It's in a way, it's one question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's both about robins and it's about where they come from and where do they go. Are they your favourite bird?
Yes, and my mum's.
Why are they so friendly, Danny? Do you know?
I don't know.
They're the friendliest. Go on.
I think it's because they're red breasts.
That just gives them a bit more confidence, maybe, or it makes us like them more. But I can never quite believe how brave they are. They come. Most birds, as soon as you go in the garden, they fly off as if you're a cat. But with a robin, sometimes... when I'm sitting outside in the garden, there's a little robin that lands on the corner of the table, and I think if I had a bit more patience, Danny, and maybe a couple of peanuts, I could get him to come onto my finger.
Also, they sing.
They do have beautiful
songs.
They
have very nice singing voices.
They have lovely singing voices. They really do. Have you got a robin that comes into your garden, or do you see one?
Yeah, we have our robin that goes everywhere with us.
Do you really?
Yeah, like we have like a robin that goes to Ireland with us. We've got a robin that goes to home with us. We've got a robin that goes to the park with us. We've got robins everywhere.
Oh, that's fantastic, isn't it? I love robins. Let's get you an answer. Where do they come from originally and do they migrate? We need both of those questions answering and we need them answering ASAP. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you. We also listen to your show, like, every day.
Do you? Well, then I can only apologise. Do you find it, and don't tell me the truth, Danny, do you find it quite boring most of the time?
Nope.
Promise?
Yes.
Well, you're my favourite, Danny.
I also learn about the coronavirus and all.
You do, and you don't find yourself getting a bit...
And Brexit.
And well, flipping heck, Danny. Would you like a round of applause for being a top lad?
Yes. Also...
Oh, yes.
Also, on LBC,
careful.
I always keep telling that, because most of the time the question hours are like packed up with children, and I've always been like, Dad, what about question hours? So I keep dialing in, and I was like, that someone's already on the line, and I'm like, honestly, why can't I go?
And this week you got through, so have you been trying pretty much since lockdown started to get through on Mystery Hour?
Yeah.
And you did. Have you got any tips for other 8-year-olds listening who are thinking, Danny's right. I rang in last week and I rang in this week. What's the secret of getting on the radio, Danny?
The secret is to enjoy the radio and to just listen to all the questions and answers to the radio, and to listen to it like the breakfast show and all that.
Well, hang on.
I'm dialing in.
Whoa! Hang on a minute. can I have a quick word with your mum?
Hello.
You must be extremely proud of your little boy.
Oh, I am very much so.
We
always listen to you, and he's very upset that he hasn't managed to.
Well, he's here now.
Online. So, and he loves Robins, and he was thinking that he knew that you'd be able to answer.
Well, he's a magnet. Well, I can't answer this one, but I'll find it. I promise you, I'll find someone that can, even if it kills me. What does he want to be when he grows up, Mum?
I want to be like a teacher.
He wants to be a teacher.
So I heard. So I gathered. I'm trying
to think. He's definitely old before he's.
I'm going to be a mixed teacher.
Danny, you, my friend, are an absolute star. And if anyone ever doubts it, tell them that the boring bloke on the radio said you are a star, so it must be true, okay?
Okay.
You look after yourself. 12:26 is the time. Oh, Alex is in Glasgow. Alex, question or answer?
Question answered it.
Carry on, mate.
It's to the height of waves, you know, the 90-foot waves and all that.
Yes.
Okay, there's a couple of ways. Modern, fancy pants technology means that we've got satellites up there now that can radar, basically, height and that of waves running. But that is compared to, there's a couple of other ways we do it, which is ships at sea report on a daily basis weather reports to the Met Office.
Right.
And that's just guessing. They just look out the window and go, there, that looks about 5 metres, that looks about 6 metres.
So if I'm at a surfing competition, though, and somebody says on the tannoy, and obviously I've competed in a lot of surfing competitions over the years, and if someone says over the tannoy, oh, that's a ripper coming in there, that's at least 30 feet, well, they're just doing it with their eyes, you think? There's no actual measurement?
Yeah, it's just by eyeball. I mean, you can get forecasts that'll tell you what you're expecting, but yeah, it's pretty much going to all be eyeball.
And that's based on previous experience?
Previous experience, yeah. And you've got oil rigs and that which measure them as well. They've got like wave measuring guides, wave measuring radar that points you into the sea that measures exactly how high the waves are.
So you could do it with technology. You could point it, as you say, and measure the distance between two points with the top and the bottom of the wave. But there's no...
you could. If you knew how far away the wave was, as you said, with a sextant, you can just take the angle and a bit of trig, 2 seconds. But
what are your qualifications, Alex? What are your qualifications?
Pardon?
What are your qualifications? How do you know this?
I used to be a captain at sea, so...
You said, I promise.
Yeah.
Because you had quite a comical pause there, as if you were casting around for a qualification that would shut me up, and you thought, captain at sea, that'll do him.
Well, I used to also work on oil rigs, so that's how I know about the oil
rig. So you were deciding which of your myriad qualifications was the most appropriate in this context, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, give him a round of applause. What lovely work. Scott has been in, my mate Scott's been in touch. So someone needs to save Danny from a lifetime's curse of LBC addiction before it's too late. And I can tell you straight, Scott knows of what he speaks. Emily's in Lincoln. Emily, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Can spiders get trapped in other spiders' webs?
Yes, they can. Because the spider has something on his feet, doesn't he? You want a clever person to answer this, don't you, Emily? Well, at least your mum appreciated it. I shall get you an answer to that question. Can spiders get stuck on other spiders' webs? I was just trying to drag it up from my memory banks because I'm sure that a grown-up asked that question, although not as intelligently as you did, and I have managed to forget what the answer was. So leave that one with me, Emily. Where do robins come from? And where do they go? Why is Durham the only county with county, English county with county in its title? How dangerous are black holes? Can spiders get stuck on another spider's web? What was there before the Big Bang? Done the waves, done the satellites. And why do we close our eyes when we sneeze? It's coming up to 12:30. You're listening to James O'Brien's Mystery Hour live on LBC. Thomas Watts is here now with your headline.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973.
12:33 is the time and Mystery Hour is halfway through. Why do we close our eyes when we sneeze? What was there before the Big Bang? Can spiders get stuck on other spiders' webs? How scary, or are black holes dangerous? Why is Durham the only English county with county in its title or prefixed? And where do robin redbreasts come from? And when you've told me where they come from, you can tell me whether or not they migrate. 0345 6060 973. Special message for Danny's mum. Do try to have a look at my Twitter mentions if you get a chance, because your boy's got his own fan club already and he's not even nine. Karina is in Raynham. Karina, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Cool, carry on, Karina.
I'm going to answer the black holes question.
Great stuff.
So basically, if a person was to enter a black hole, yeah, there wouldn't be any oxygen, so you wouldn't be able to breathe, and that it contains extreme levels of dangerous radiation, which could give you either really bad radiation sickness or you could die.
If you'd fallen out of your spaceship, you'd probably be dead already. But the point is, the radiation is so immense that if the spaceship fell into a black hole, we'd have problems.
Yeah. So it would be like worse than the Chernobyl.
Well, nothing can escape from a black hole, can it? Once it's in there, it's there forever.
Yeah, because you get sucked in.
That's right. When I was your age, how old are you?
11.
When I was your age, I thought that if you got sucked into one, you might come out the other end in some magical... Why are you laughing at me? I was only 11. You might come out the other end in some sort of magical universe full of unicorns and dinosaurs. No? Clearly not. What are your qualifications, Karina? That's a brilliant answer. How do you know it?
I used to read, in my school we learn a lot about gravity.
Yes.
And space, and I read a lot about it, so I liked that subject.
Good. Well, I didn't like the way you said that you used to, as if you've sort of given up and moved on to
No, it's just like because I read all of the books that we had in our school.
Oh, I see. You literally ran out of books.
Yeah.
Ran out of space books. Right, you've got yourself a round of applause, Karina. And, hey, do you start secondary school in September?
No, I'm in secondary school. I'm going into year 8.
So you're going into year 8. You need to have a word with the librarian. They need some new space books. You need to get in there, start laying down the law. So I advise you to say something like, what sort of library do you call this, miss? We need more space books and we need them now. Sort it out, otherwise I'm going to get black hole on you. Or something like that. Round of applause for Karina, please. A lovely answer. A lovely mystery hour. I wish we could do this every day. 12:36 is the time. Zane is in Woodford, staying in Essex. Zane, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
What was the first thing to ever be alive on planet Earth?
Steve Allen. No, I'm only kidding. It was some sort of weird single-cellular organism, but you want a proper answer, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, like a bacteria. I think it might have been a bacteria, but you're not going to take that either, are you?
No, my dad said it might have been a fish or something.
No way. Oh, your dad, eh? What a dozer. It would be something tiny. It'd be something like a germ, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think your dad's right in that everything evolved from a creature that did live in the sea originally, but I think the creature in the sea was already quite evolved compared to the very, very first instance of life. What do we mean by alive, Zane? Do we mean that it could breathe? I mean, what is your definition of alive?
Like a plant or a human, anything.
Anything alive, and anything that... Yeah, of course. It could be a plant. I'll try and find out for you. Of course, we might not know, because apart from the chap I just mentioned a moment ago, no one's old enough to remember, but I shall try and find out for you. That's a lovely question. What was the first living organism on planet Earth? 03456060973. I miss Steve. Do you know, I haven't seen Steve Allen for months. So our paths were like ships that don't pass in the night. So do give him my love, won't you, when he's back with you tomorrow morning. Verity is in Hove. Verity, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's an answer.
Carry on, Verity.
So, it's the spider question.
Yes.
So, the first question you need to ask yourself, really, is have you ever seen a spider stuck in another spider's web?
Yes.
Most people are going to say no to that.
Oh, I have, because I've got quite a lot of spider action at the bottom of my garden.
Well, now, what you might have seen is the cast-off skin sheddings of spiders.
Oh,
that's
I think you're
common.
Right. I think you might be right.
So, you'll see that a lot. It can happen. It would be very rare.
Oh.
And the reason it'd be rare is, one, because spiders tend to stay away from each other. There are a couple of species of spider that do live communally, but it's very rare.
Right.
And when spiders get near each other, they tend to fight. And generally end up with one very big spider at the end. And it's also worth thinking about the fact that spiders have knowledge of silk. So if it's silk thing. Spinning spider, they actually make several different types of silk. So
oh, yes.
A type of silk called pyriform silk, which they make specifically to navigate around the web with. Now, that silk isn't sticky. They then cover that with another layer of silk, and they have their legs are specifically designed to be able to walk on this.
Oh,
with their hair.
That was it, yes.
So it's very unlikely to happen. It could happen, though, if a spider was knocked out of a tree and it fell onto a web on its back.
Made contact with a web via parts of its bodies that were not legs.
Yeah, and
but as you remind us,
well,
they've got a lot of legs.
They can detect silk instantly. They know what it feels like. They know what it is. Usually, if they detect it, they'll go away because they'll think there's another spider there. Very few spiders just wander about as well. Most spiders that use silk as a trap, they just stay on that silk. It's their trap, you know. So,
makes sense. Normal circumstances, no, but in freak circumstances where a spider gets blown out of a tree and doesn't have time to spin a little quick web to save itself and lands upside down on another spider's web, it could get stuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Qualifications?
There are some more technicalities about the
Don't
structure
worry.
Of web.
No. We've done
silk.
Enough.
Verity, I'm not an expert on all that.
You have done enough. What are your qualifications?
I've been keeping spiders and insects since I was a child. Amateur entomologist.
Amateur entomologist. That'll do nicely. Round of applause for Verity. 20-1. And Leslie's in Surbiton. Leslie, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
It's the question about Durham.
Yes.
The reason that the county is prefixed by County Durham is to distinguish between the county town, which is Durham City.
Yeah, but then why don't we have County Warwick and County Stafford and County Worcester?
I've no idea, but that is the reason. That's the only reason why it's prefixed.
But the question was, why is it the only one? I'm being a bit robust with you, Leslie, which is grossly inappropriate in the circumstances. But the question was, why is it the only one? So you're right, but it doesn't. What you've said is true, but it doesn't answer specifically the question that was asked, because Worcester is the county town of Worcestershire, and yet it's not called County Worcester.
Well, the people in Durham are exceptional.
So you're claiming exceptionalism. It's the answer to every other blinking mystery in this country at the moment, from Brexit to coronavirus, isn't it? I'm going to give you a round of applause, because clearly your qualifications are that you hail from that neck of the woods.
My dad does.
Or your dad does. But I'm not necessarily locking the box on this one, Leslie. So have a round of applause. Why is it the only English county to have county in its title? Andy's in Flint. Andy, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Why do we have to mark our election ballot papers in pencil? Are we not allowed to mark them in ink?
I think
pencil is the only thing that can be rubbed out and replaced with something else.
I think you are allowed to do them in ink.
No, I've asked. I ask and they say you're not allowed to, you've got to use the pencil.
What reason did they give?
They didn't give me. I asked why and they said they don't know.
Oh, okay. I just remember, no offence, mate, but there were a lot of mad people in the run-up to Brexit that thought the pencil votes would be rubbed out, and they reported to me that they did take their own biros and use them.
Well, maybe the case with Brexit, but certainly the election ballot papers.
Yeah.
I've always asked, you know, why can't I use my own pen? And they always say you have to use the pencil.
I'm going to regret asking this. Why do you want to use your own pen, mate?
Well, because I don't want somebody to rub it out.
Yeah.
Bit cynical, I know, but, you know.
Yeah. I'll put it on the board. Why isn't Andy allowed to use his pen in the ballot box? 12:43 is the time. Barry's in Bristol. Barry, question or answer?
I have an answer, James.
Carry on, Barry. Barry's another one of those names where you were unlikely to be 6 years old. I don't know why.
True.
I don't know why, but I'm fascinated by the way names come and go. And
I've never met a six-year-old Barry.
Carry on. I wonder if Barack Obama might have brought about a new generation of Barrys that are coming up on the outside lane. I don't know.
Possibly.
Go on then. What's your answer?
I've got the answer to all things Robin related.
Oh, wow. So this is for Danny. Probably the best caller. Probably, it's a contender for my favourite call of all time. So don't you go messing it up, Barry, all right?
No, I won't. I can answer both Danny's questions and the question that you asked as well.
Fantastic.
So robins are spread quite widely across Europe. So they have quite a wide area in which they live. But they're quite local birds. They tend to live within a sort of 5 mile radius of each other.
Okay,
roughly.
Yes.
So they cover quite a small area of ground. And they don't tend to migrate. So what they actually do is they change their eating habits. So they tend to eat sort of insects and larvae and stuff over the spring and the summer, and then go on to sort of nuts and berries over the winter so that they can sustain themselves. In terms of why they're so friendly, the jury's a little bit out on this one, but the wide-held belief is that because they're ground-feeding birds, they're the friend of the gardener. So when you're tilling the soil and you're turning up worms and stuff, they come down and sort of pick up the worms. So over quite a long period of time, they've developed a bit of a symbiotic relationship with people. However, it's also thought that because we till the soil, the robins in their head believe that humans aren't a threat to them because we're also ground feeders, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
Their lifespan is not enormous, so they sort of live for about 30 months, which is why they can sustain that sort of 5 mile radius of each other, if that makes a bit of sense.
Yes, it does, because if they lived longer and bred, then they'd proliferate.
Have a problem. Yeah, exactly.
So just however, to clarify, do they ever migrate? Do they ever go to?
So they can do. So right. When they are near boundaries of countries, for example, so you might get them going over the Channel from Kent, say, to France or
really?
Whatever. Yeah,
for summer or for other reasons.
No, so they will go to slightly warmer climes if they're available.
Yes.
So in the winter, if it's warmer over the channel, they might go over the channel because of the availability of food. Because in a warmer environment, there's more for them to go out, I suppose. But generally speaking, they're quite sedentary birds. They don't migrate, really. They're not seen as a migratory bird.
And would we call it, even though they're all over Europe, would we call it a native bird?
Yeah, absolutely. So its full name actually is the European robin.
Of course it is.
And there's lots and lots of different robins.
What are we going to call it after Brexit?
We'll have to call it the red, white and blue robin. I think is probably what I'd call it.
Oh, well played. How do you know all this? What are your qualifications?
So I've been a bird watcher for as long as I can remember, which started from my parents sticking a bird table in our back garden, wondering what was coming down, and then reading books and watching the birds and all that kind of stuff.
I'm very, very much in the nursery slopes of ornithology, but the lockdown accelerated the process for
it's
me
great,
a bit.
Isn't it?
Well, also, we're near the river, so I've got cormorants and herons and things like that, which draw the eye in a remarkable way. Is there a book on robins that you're aware of? Is there a single...
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. However, I'm going to leave you with an anecdote, which I think you might quite like, because it talks to what you were saying earlier, which is there was a robin in my back garden last summer that was hopping about in the hedge, and I put some seed in my hand and stood there for a while, and the robin did come down and sit on my hand and start eating the seed. So they are that brave. And if you've got the patience to do it, because I know you spoke about it, you might be able to do it yourself, James, and it's quite an experience.
No, I'm up for it, because I've seen it on the internet, people who have a robin that comes to visit every day, and they feed it and they get it to come through the kitchen window and everything. And I love that theory of ground feeding for being the thinking behind it.
There you go.
Oh, mate, that was lovely. What a beautiful mystery how this is. And the cherry on the icing on the cake is Danny's question and Barry's answer. So a round of applause for Barry. Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
That was lovely. What I was going to do, if he did know a good book on robins, I was going to send it to Danny. So if you do know a good one, then let me know, and I'll bung it to the lad. It's 12:48.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973.
12:51 is the time. It's a special message for Karina, who was in Raynham, I think. Get the telly on, Karina. They're sending a probe to Mars. You're going to absolutely love it. Seriously, you can keep the radio on in the background if you want, although I go and have a look at that. It's astonishing footage of this new launch. It's called Perseverance, and it's a rover that is, I think if I understood correctly a report this morning, it's going to, over the course of several years, it goes to Mars and then hopefully brings some rocks back, Mars rocks, as I believe the scientists call them. Adam is in South Woodford. Adam, question or answer?
I have an answer for you, James.
Carry on, Adam.
It's in relation to why we close our eyes when we sneeze.
Yes.
So we sneeze actually to clear our lungs.
Right.
And the pressure that is built up, if we didn't close our eyes when we sneeze, you'd blow your eyeballs out.
Yes, it is actually true then. I mean, not necessarily every time, because someone, and I don't want anyone to try this at home, like holding their eyes open when they sneeze, but there is a risk of the pressure building up in such a way that you might actually blow your own eyeball out of your face.
Yeah, and of course you could only try it twice.
Well, do you not think both would go the first time? You
had to... I don't know. I haven't tried it.
No, and let's not. Qualifications. What are your qualifications?
I have no relevant qualifications, I'm afraid.
Well, how do you know this information? You don't need to have relevant qualifications. You just need to tell me how you know it.
Okay. My daughter is a scientist, and she told me a few months ago.
And she's reliable? You're prepared to vouch for her, are you?
Oh, yes. She's a doctor of mathematical biology.
Well, that'll do nicely. Round of applause for Adam, although, frankly, he should pass it on to his daughter.
I will do.
Good, thank you very much. 12:53 is the time. Stanley is in Chislehurst. Stanley, question or answer?
Question.
Good man. Go on.
Where did algebra come from?
As in geographically?
Yes.
I know that algebra is Arabic, so you're probably talking about Babylon. The Babylonians would have been the first people to have algebra as mathematical formulae.
Okay. But why?
Why? No, you can't say why. That's a question for the ages. You said, where does algebra come from? You want to know why someone invented it? You're just a schoolboy with a grudge against algebra. Aren't you?
Yeah.
So you're hoping to win an argument here by saying, why do I have to learn algebra? I'm never going to have to do. We used to do this with Pythagoras. Have you done Pythagoras yet?
No.
So Pythagoras is all about right angles. And my maths teacher, we said, because I was 11 once, Stanley, hard though this is to believe. And I said, what's the point of Pythagoras, sir? And I saw that look on his face, that perfect look on a teacher's face when you know you've got them on the end of a string and he can't really think of anything that you actually need Pythagoras' theorem for in real life. And do you know what he came up with?
What?
Marking out the lines on a football pitch. He claimed, because that was also his job, he doubled up as a PE teacher, he claimed that he used Pythagoras' theorem to get the corners exactly 90 degrees on our football pitch. I didn't believe him then, Stanley, and I don't believe him now. But the answer to your question is the Babylonians.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Round of applause for me. I love the fact that even when I'm talking to 11-year-olds, I don't allow my childish desire for applause to be in any way subsumed. Jane is in Horsham. Jane, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Yes.
It's the answer to the one about using a pencil in the polling booth.
Now, between you and me, I have already answered this question, but the chap who asked it elected not to believe me, and I sensed that it wouldn't be an argument worth having.
Okay.
Go on.
Do you want to know the reason?
Yes. Well, no, I mean, the short answer is, he said, why aren't you allowed to use pens? The short answer is...
you're allowed to use whatever you like.
Yes. And the reason why we prefer pencils, as the Electoral Commission told me when I asked this question many years ago...
they don't blotch. When you fold your voting paper, they don't blotch onto another option and contaminate your
So vote. There's no danger of accidentally spoiling your ballot by dint of a leaky biro.
Correct.
Qualifications?
I worked as a polling clerk in various elections.
Very nice.
And that's part of the speech they give you beforehand.
Round of applause.
Thank you very much.
No, that was great stuff. Thank you very much. We're doing well. We're making progress. We've got 3 or 4 minutes left. Neil's in Derby. Neil, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on, Neil.
So the Durham question.
Yes.
So I'm from a town called Hartlepool originally, which yes. is now County Durham. It was, when I was born, it was Cleveland.
Yeah,
so you
right,
might have seen the seat in Carew to do thing a while ago with Cleveland Police picking that fellow up.
Yes.
So there's constantly changing county lines and county names come from the time that they were established.
Yes.
So shire is a very old English term, whereas County Durham came around later on. So there was Durham and then it became the County of Durham, so they just called it County Durham.
So it's just it's more to do with... history than geography, actually.
Linguistical preference at the time it was founded. So you'll also see things like new cities and the change in the way cities were created. My wife's from Stoke, which
yes.
was a recently made city out of 6 towns, I believe it was. So there's
right.
no cathedral there, so it's not technically a citadel.
Oh, yeah.
So they changed the way in which they apply it when they made the city, and similar with the county. So places like Avon and that lot were originally kingdoms. So, yeah.
There's a lot going on, in other words. Has Neil dropped off the line there? Well, we lost Neil. I hope he's still listening. Give him a round of applause, quick. Splendid. 12:57 is the time. Alex is in Guildford. Alex, question or answer?
It's a steward's inquiry, James.
Really?
To your algebra question.
Answer.
Answer. Yeah, yes. Of course. It wasn't the Babylonians.
Right.
I think it was a Muslim man who invented algebra, wasn't it?
Well, it's unlikely because Islam didn't exist until about 1,000 years ago. Algebra's been around since about 500 BC.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I've heard it on Mystery Hour before that it was a Muslim man who invented algebra.
No.
Oh.
But only in the sense that there was no such thing as Islam when algebra was first used.
Okay,
which is a fairly reliable refutation of your assertion, Alex.
Oh, James, I thought I had you.
Well, it's not personal. There's nothing to get me. But I could be wrong. I'm just sort of confident that Babylonian mathematics included algebra, and Islam was only came about after the Prophet Muhammad sort of emerged long after Christianity. So anyway, it was fun. And if there is anything that needs to be corrected, we will correct it. 034, have we got any more? We're going to squeeze in Peter in Dover. Peter, question or answer?
Yeah, algebra, it means small parts, building up something from small parts.
Yes.
In Arabic.
That's correct.
And also, a fictitious story about being on a plane when the pilot says to the crew or to the passengers, we're at 10,000 feet and don't worry at all because I'm not qualified in any way to fly this plane. I've got no technical or aviation qualifications at all, but I have got a degree in Greek and Roman literature. So I'm really a top guy.
Okay.
I know all about Greek quotations and Latin quotations.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. You've done a bit of political satire. Give Peter a round of applause. And to clarify that, I think the reason for the last gentleman's confusion is that there is an Islamic scholar who is known as the father of algebra, but that has more to do with the title of the book that he wrote than it does with the actual discovery of mathematical formulae, which was the Babylonians, and first recorded, I think, off the top of my head, and I got this off Sheila Fogarty, in about 539 BC.
You didn't.
And here is Sheila Fogarty.
Never.
The mother of algebra.
The mother of all. I was rubbish in algebra at school. Anyway, thank you, James. Is it time to bring the daily coronavirus press conferences back? I say yes. Here's why. Local authorities say they still don't have the fullest information they need to properly control the virus. We don't know if 7 days isolation when you have symptoms is enough. We don't know if 14 days quarantine can become 10 days or even fewer with better and more widespread testing. Speaking of testing, I had a test this week and I discovered you can get an NHS coronavirus test without having symptoms. Only the Department of Health says you can't. Thing is, you can. So, the left hand clearly doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Second wave, you say? Bring back the briefings, I say.
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.